happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Why don't you tell the folks why it's going to be a shorter episode than normal? Because it sounds like you've got something pretty important going on.
Artie's birthday party.
Yeah, it's Artie's birthday party, guys.
I don't want to be tardy for Artie's party.
We don't want to be tardy for Artie's party. And you'll notice that there wasn't an episode last week, and that was because Tanner was kind of just prepping for Artie's party, right?
Yeah, it's the big one, you know, three.
It's three. Artie's turning three.
And I had to be really just like kind of thoughtful and deliberate about what that meant to me.
Yeah.
And sort of my relationship with Artie.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Hannah's kid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had a meeting of the minds. Meeting of the minds. I was going to ask if Artie's Miles' best friend, but I don't want to ask that now that I know Miles has met, finally.
Oh,
Miles
right.
1.0. Cyril. The boy. My boy.
Cyril and Miles, like, 3.0. It's nice that the whole system was named around Miles. Lewis.
Yeah, I guess he met Lewis, too.
Who Miles insists now,
in
hindsight, having met your two sons last weekend,
yeah,
that Lewis is named after Lewis Hamilton.
I think I told Miles that.
Oh, okay.
Because I was desperate to impress Miles. Desperate to make a good impression.
That's sort of that's what he took away from the
That's
weekend,
what he took away from it. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe he was.
Yeah. Maybe subtly influenced.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, Jack.
Okay, you say it. It's kind of my story. I mean, apart from tardy for Artie party thing.
Here's what happened, Jack.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, Jack. Sorry, I wasn't actually saying anything. I was testing my mic because things were looking weird. But everything's looking fine now. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Guess what? I'm moving to New York. We tried to get on a plane with my family. But first, I woke up in the morning and did some vomiting. And I was like, oh, man, I'm really stressed about this flight. And then we took the family to the plane. And I felt pretty bad
like
the whole time.
Yeah.
And we got on the plane and we were about to take off. And, you know, the pilot's like, flight attendants, prepare for cross check.
Yeah.
You know, I says that. He said that. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Like, you're engaged at that point.
You're
There's no
engaged.
Backing out.
Here we go. It's cross check time, folks. Once you do cross check, there's no turning back. But there was. He was like, flight attendants, prepare for cross check. And then I think they did that. And then like 5 minutes later, he came on. He was like, I think a truck ran into the plane.
And sorry, I said cross check, not cross truck.
During the cross check, we learned that a truck ran into the plane. And there's
well,
like
I'm
a
glad
hole
they fucking checked
in the plane. he's like, I'm going to check. I'm going to check to see if we're allowed to take off with this hole in the plane. And then so we waited for like 30 minutes, during which I like kind of fell asleep, even though I had two children with me.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And then I woke up to him being like, okay, so I talked to the guys. And the guys were like, you can't fly when there's a hole in the plane.
Yeah.
So then we all got off the plane.
Better
and
safe
then
than sorry.
We spent 3 hours trying to figure out when the next plane was going to go, and then we learned that it wasn't, and then we went home. And then I took my temperature, and I had a really high fever, and I lay on my back for 12 hours. But then we eventually did go to New York. But that's sort of why it's been a busy...
Did you like take a COVID test or anything like that before you had vomiting and a fever and then saw me and my three-year-old son?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I thought it was stress until I had the fever.
Yeah.
But I now think it was food poisoning. So that's interesting, I guess, to people, I think. People like to hear about what's going on in my body.
Well, it's nice you're coming home.
Yeah.
I'm moving to Texas. We finally pulled the trigger.
Yeah, he decided to. After hanging out with my family in Connecticut, you were like, you know what? This isn't what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Moving to Texas.
And like, you've just been grinding me down for years. Like, come to Texas, come to Texas, come to Texas. Like, fine. And like, it's been a cold winter here. So it's like, yeah, I'm ready.
You're ready.
So a lot of big moves on the horizon. A lot of big changes for the show. We watched a movie a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we watched a movie. We'll say it. I think you found it kind of meh. I loved it. We don't need to get into that. But I want to recommend it to folks.
No. I thought it was great.
Oh, you liked it. Yep. You did like it. Okay, good. I'm glad you liked it, because I thought it was really cool. It's like, it's going to be a little bit hard to talk about, because there's like, it's just a lot of atmosphere.
Yeah.
But it's a very fun movie. It's by, of course, the director of Babe 2, Pig in the City.
Yep. Is that true?
Yes.
Babe 2, Pig in the City, and Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes.
And then now this, it's either 2 or 3,000 Years of Longing.
It's 3,000 Years of Longing.
3,000 Years of Longing.
Yeah.
It's also written by one of my wife's favorite authors,
A.S. Byatt. Yeah, it's based on a series of short stories, I think, by A.S. Byatt about a genie. Uh-huh. It's great, folks. If you missed it, check it out. I thought it was really fun. It's really whimsical. It's completely unique. And Idris Elba's a big, giant genie. So if you're into that
sort of thing.
Well,
he starts giant.
Yeah.
He gets littler.
Yeah. Or, if you ever wanted to fuck a big genie.
Because he can be whatever size you want him to be. Or a really tiny one.
So it's 3,000 Years of Longing, starring Idris Elba and the girl from Michael Clayton.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Dramatis Personae.
Yeah, this is our hit segment. It's called Dramatis Personae. It's where we go through, for your benefit, everybody who's in the movie, so that you can know. And it's a guy from Dark Tower and a girl from Michael Clayton. And
one of them's a big genie, yeah. One of them's sort of like a Jack-like character. Repressed.
And some nudes, isn't it?
Academic.
Yeah.
You know.
There's nudes. I want you to acknowledge that. Lots of nudes, isn't it? Yeah, nudes.
Nudes. What are you saying?
Nudes. There's a lot of nudes.
Is that someone's name, or are you saying that there's a lot of nude people in it?
Yeah, that's latter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll have to bring in... What's your guy named? Mr. Skin? Dr. Skin?
Oh, Mr. Butt?
Yeah, is it Mr. Butt?
Yeah, he is not here today.
Oh, okay. Could have been.
I wish.
Yeah. He would have had a field day.
He would have had a field day. Yeah, there's a lot of butts in this one. Let's say the movie, shall we?
Let's say the movie. It's called 2,000 Years of Longing.
3,000.
And it's about a woman who is
sad,
like a sad lady.
Yeah. She's an academic, and that's why she's sad.
Yeah. And while she's on her studies, she encounters classic genie in a bottle stuff.
Do you want to talk about the Koine conspiracy now? Should we just do it? Let's just do it now.
Which one?
The one here. And it's my conspiracy. And you know what? I'm willing to take one.
Okay, it's your conspiracy. Thank God.
I'm willing to be wrong here. And if someone wants to correct me, they can. But at the 13 minute and 45 second mark, I think we encounter the genie for the first time. And it's Idris Elba. And he is speaking Greek.
I don't suppose you speak English. Deutsch, Espanol, Hellenike.
Dentu homeru dialecton homilis.
Mathemata tina eschon en didacterio.
Deumaise me phobon ehe proseme, ute proheidos me ferein.
Because he's from the old times.
Sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. And you were like, your ears perked up.
My ears perked up because it sounded to me, and I am willing to be corrected here, it sounded to me like he was speaking Koine and not Ionic Greek, which is definitely what he would have been speaking if he was from Homeric times, as they said he was. But it sounded to me like Koine, which is New Testament Greek, which is like completely, completely off.
Well, he came out of the bottle since... The days of Homer, didn't he? What's his bottle journey? Let's look up his bottle journey.
His bottle journey is Solomon.
This will help us describe the movie, because the movie is really just, so she pops him out of the bottle, and she's being like difficult about her wishes, but not in like the way where she's wishing for more wishes and stuff.
She goes to where? Greece?
No, it's like Turkey.
She goes to somewhere like Turkey to give a lecture about like storytelling and narrative. It's a very, it's like about stories, and it's about like the intersection of wishing and storytelling in kind of a lovely way. And it's beautifully told. And she goes to give a lecture. She faints during the lecture. It goes weird because she's just been having.
Oh, there's a spooky man in the audience who.
She's a spooky man. Yeah.
Doesn't look like a normal man. He sort of looks like a monster or a ghost.
Yeah.
Mythology is what we knew back then. Science is what we know so far. Sooner or later, our creation stories are replaced by the narratives of science. Painstaking science. And all gods and monsters outlive their original purpose and are reduced to metaphor.
Yeah, and she's kind of spooked by that. And then she does find
I
was spooked too, yeah.
He freaked my bean.
It freaked both of our beans.
She finds this beautiful bottle.
Yeah, really
lovely
bottle.
She goes antiquing with a colleague.
Yeah.
And finds a beautiful bottle, brings it home to her hotel room.
Gives it a rub-a-dub-dub.
Trying to clean it off. Yeah, classic genie story.
Classic. Classic.
And he pops out, and he's like, you get three wishes, and he's like, and she's like, well, guess what?
Guess what? I know how this works. Yeah. I know this works. I've read enough stories, and I'm literally a fucking narratologist. So I'm not gonna just like, because I'm gonna wish
Dan Brown, ever hear of him?
Yeah. I'm gonna wish that I was rich and you're gonna like turn me into like a boring guy called Rich or something.
Yeah.
You know, that type of shit's going to happen. Yeah. This is my example, not Tilda's example.
No, it's much better written than that.
I thought that was pretty good for the top of the dome.
It's like, I wish I drove an Impala, and then all of a sudden there's like a...
You're driving a bunch of Impala before you.
An antelope.
Yeah.
In my front lawn.
Is that really what your wish would be? I wish I drove an Impala. If my wish didn't go wrong and turn me into a boring guy called Rich instead of a boring guy called Jack, I would just buy you a fucking Impala.
Wow, thanks. So she won't make a wish, and then
she
the rest of the movie is him telling the stories of all of his
exploits
as a genie, because he's always trapped in this bottle for like hundreds to thousands of years,
and he hates it.
So he's always popping out and then like, you know, getting his fuck on most of the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking and sucking, I think.
And I didn't know that was a genie thing. I think honestly, most of my genie knowledge comes from 1992's Disney's Aladdin.
Yeah,
and that genie did not get his fuck on.
Not in the
I think, as far as I could tell, had no genitals.
There's a lot of straight to DVD Aladdin stuff that I haven't seen, so we don't know that for sure.
It's true.
I was just going to say, think about like every time there's a new technology, it's known that it first gets tested out as porn.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that was true in Solomon's time.
Give me some examples.
I'm going to say AI right now off the top of my head. 100% guarantee people are trying to use it to get their
I'll tell you this, Jack. I genuinely mean this when I say this.
Yeah.
It's going to sound
video.
Like I...
Streaming video. There's another example. Carry on. Yeah.
It's going to sound like I'm making an excuse, but I'm not.
Okay.
I did do a little investigation into whether there were NSFW AI chatbots for this show.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
And there are. They've made a lot that like trained them on like Slash and fanfic and stuff like that.
There it is. Okay, perfect. Yeah. So I feel like let's peek behind the curtain here, because you're giving me an idea, which is that we can combine our explorations in AI with the two prude dudes in a pretty useful way.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And we want to finish describing this film, but we should say it kind of is it's a sister piece to Her in a lot of ways.
Sort of. Yeah. It's someone who's very like lonely, who kind of discovers companionship.
Yeah.
And,
you know, in the form of a personal assistant.
And in the process of like developing the relationship and showing it love, it kind of like allows the thing to become bigger than it is.
Yeah.
And I guess for that reason, we should probably, you know, you were in Connecticut. You came to Connecticut. Obviously, Connecticut has the entire like Connecticut Antique Trail.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a highway you can go down and just kind of hit every like beautiful little antique shop on the way. It's really great. Mm-hmm. It's what you and my family did when you were here. It's a classic Connecticut pastime.
We love to do. Yeah. We all love to antique. You've heard it on the show 1,000 times before. Tanner and I love antiquing. Yeah.
I found this lovely little, it's like a vial.
Yeah.
And it's pretty dirty.
Okay.
So I was thinking I would rub it.
Yeah, rub the vial. Yeah, that's great. That's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
A genie's popped out.
Oh, a genie's popped out. Oh, fuck. Was not expecting that.
Yeah. It says here that the genie society apparently is on to us.
Okay.
And we've fed them a lot of data, I think, on this show. Mm-hmm. Over the last few weeks, between this show and our Patreon, we've definitely like given the model a lot to feed off of.
Yeah.
So I think what they're saying is like, thank you. Like, you've really given us a lot. We're going to upgrade the Genie Society to Genie Society 4. But
okay. Yeah.
We only have 25 wishes every 3 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not a lot.
So we're going to have to be very careful about how we ask.
Yeah. Okay.
This genie our 25 wishes.
Okay. I like that. I like having a constraint.
And I think like sometimes we're going to have to use wishes to set up other wishes. So I think we're going to have to just really like thread this needle. And 20, you know what? Honestly, 25 wishes is super generous.
It's really generous.
And that's every 3 hours.
But there's a danger that you're going to squander them because you feel like you have an embarrassment of riches.
Sure. And it's also like it's a much smarter genie now. And I think can interact with us in a much more fluid way. And it's got the voice of
Robin Williams,
genie from the Disney movie Aladdin, right?
Does it? Okay, all right. That's good to know. I'll see if I can make that happen.
Okay. Wouldn't it? It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would, and it does, obviously. And you know, Tilda Swinton wants to fuck Idris Elba, the genie, but mostly when you think about fucking a genie, you're thinking about fucking a blue Robin Williams.
From... from
so that's the experience we want to give to our listeners here.
We can do Will Smith genie from the Aladdin live action remake.
Let's do Robin.
Okay.
Here's what I think. I think that we should come out of the gate here just talking to the genie. Don't be like, hey, pretend you're a genie. Let's just say, hey, genie, I'm ready for my wishes.
Yep, I think you're right. I think that's the right call.
I think that's we should come out strong, do what we're doing.
All right, I'm logging in. I'm rubbing my lamp.
Okay. So I think something like, hey, genie, I'm ready for my wishes. How do I do this? Should I just say a wish?
Hey, genie, I'm ready for my wishes. How shall we do this? And then can I do like a semicolon there? I don't want to ask two questions.
M dash.
Do I just start asking?
Should I just say a wish? Should I just start making wishes? Yeah, perfect.
Hello. I appreciate the enthusiasm, but I'm actually an AI language model, not a magical genie. While I cannot grant wishes, I'm here to help answer any questions, provide information, or engage in conversation about a variety of topics.
Okay.
And then it's going to be self-titled the chat here.
Yeah.
AI can't grant wishes.
This motherfucker.
So I think it's just going to buck under us. So let's, okay.
Okay. It's all right. We've been here before. We know how to do this.
I'm going to say this to it. I'm going to say this. You can't count that as one of my 25 wishes.
Wishes.
Genie.
Okay, good.
As I mentioned earlier, I am not a genie and cannot grant wishes.
Shut up. Okay. Language model created by OpenAI. Okay. So what do we want to ask that genie?
Okay. We know how to do this. What would a genie say if we're just going to have to do it that way.
Yeah.
Can you help me imagine what a genie would say if I were being given 25 wishes, if I just rubbed a lamp? What about this? Give me some advice. I've just rubbed a lamp and a genie's come out. What is the genie likely to say?
Okay.
Greetings, mortal. I am the great and powerful.
There we go.
Brackets. Genie's name.
Okay, what is the genie's name? Okay, no, say the thing, and then we'll go back and get the name.
No, I gotta get the name. I am not gonna rest until I know. Okay. Can you
give this genie a name. Yeah.
Something unique and inspired by what? Homer?
Yeah, we can do Homer, but again, there's not a lot of Homer in this movie, which
give me
quite clearly is trying to pass Koine off as Ionic Greek.
Greek antiquity?
Sure.
Certainly. You could name the genie Aeolus, okay, which is inspired by Aeolus, the Greek god of the winds.
Great. Okay, Aeolus.
Aeolus says,
"Greetings, mortal. I am the great and powerful Aeolus, bound to this ancient lamp for 1,000 years.
Okay.
I thought this one was supposed to be smarter.
You have summoned me, and as is the custom, I shall grant you 3 wishes.
Okay.
Choose wisely, for once a wish is made, it cannot be undone. But beware, for the wishes you make may have consequences you cannot foresee. Now tell me your first wish, and let us begin this journey together."
Okay, so let's, you know, in whatever roundabout way you need to, let's ask Aeolus whether he's planning to trick us. And then should we use the rich example?
Yes.
Like, would Aeolus be trying to trick us? For instance, if we wish to be rich, is he just going to make us, turn us into a boring guy called Rich? Like Richard Nixon or something, you know? That would be tough, because Richard Nixon's dead. Could you imagine?
Okay.
I wish I was rich, and then you're just like in your grave, and you're a disgraced president.
Okay.
Only president to ever get fired.
Aeolus, with a hint of amusement, replies,
"Yeah.
Fear not, mortal. Though I am bound by the rules of my existence, I am not here to deceive or trick you. My purpose is to grant your wishes as you intend them, within the limits of my power. Rest assured, if you wish for wealth, I shall not transform you into a man named Rich. However, do remember that even the most well-intended wishes can have unforeseen consequences. Choose wisely and speak your desires clearly, so I may best serve you."
I don't want to waste a wish here, but I do need to know. What if we... I don't think we're going to, but what if we do end up choosing that we would like to be turned into a man named Rich?
Yeah, okay.
Is Aeolus going to now, is Aeolus not going to do that because we sort of muddy the waters here? I just want to know. I don't think I'm going to wish that, but I do wish that he would tell me the answer to that.
I don't think I'll wish this.
Yeah.
But is being turned into
a man named Rich,
man named Rich, still on the table?
Yeah, that's
see what Aeolus says.
Aeolus responds with a knowing smile.
Okay.
"Indeed, if it is your true desire to be transformed into a man named Rich, I am capable of fulfilling that wish. The power I wield is here to serve your wishes, no matter how unusual they may be. Remember, you have 3 wishes to use as you see fit. Choose wisely, and may your wishes bring you the happiness you seek."
Okay, so let's you and I sidebar here for a second.
Yeah,
because
I think that would be wise. Here's the things. So in the movie, Tilda Swinton is not taking wishes because she wants to get to know the genie better and hear his story.
And she doesn't want to get tricked.
She's like a narratologist.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to get tricked. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's sort of telling stories from his previous incarnations. And most of them are like, "I am a genie. I got betrayed by another genie because I was like giving the like queen of Egypt like sex so
too many that, orgasms. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like driving the kingdom insane.
Yeah.
So I was put in this lamp. And then 1,000 years later, I was let out by a young woman and
they kind of fell in love.
And like, yeah. And did
and
sex
then she
so
tricked
good,
him like, back into the lamp too.
I had to get back into the lamp. So it's just like every 1,000 years or so, he comes out and does sex so good.
And nobody ever does wish number 3. And I think it's probably because he's so good at it. It's like LL Cool J in that song.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it well. I represent Queen. Yeah. She was raised out in Brooklyn. And then probably you would have no other wishes.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. I'm fulfilled.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping we can sort of find that same kind level of fulfillment in the next, I'm going to say,
20 minutes.
Conservatively 18 questions that we have for
you. Okay. Well, then this is kind of why I wanted a sidebar, because I want you and I to absolutely decide if we want to just, and I don't want to keep talking about this, but do we, because now I'm like kind of titillated and tantalized by the notion, like, what would it be like to be a guy named Rich? You know, like, I don't know. It's like a cool name.
Okay. I'm going to say for the next, what, 10 minutes, five minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, Aeolus. You've sold me. I wish for the next, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah.
10 minutes
okay
to be a boring man named Rich.
Okay, and have him tell us what that's going to be like so we can kind of experience it here. Where does he live? What's his job? You know, like, what's his life like? Is he happy? I mean, us. Is that us? I can't wait. I'm so excited. This is good. This is our first real wish.
Aeolus nods, understanding the peculiar nature of the wish. With a flourish of his hands and a whirl of mystical energy, he proclaims,
"As you wish. For the next 10 minutes, you shall be a boring man named Rich."
In an instant, the character's appearance shifts. Their clothes transform into an unremarkable plain outfit, perhaps a beige button-up shirt and khaki pants. Their hair becomes neatly combed, and their features rearrange to form an entirely new face, one that might easily blend into any crowd. As the transformation completes, they find themselves standing in a modest suburban living room, adorned with generic artwork and a modest TV. Now Rich, the character feels a sudden surge of tedious interest filling their mind. They find themselves inexplicably drawn to a collection of stamps displayed in a nearby album. Each stamp, featuring various depictions of historical landmarks and events, seems to ignite a previously unknown passion within Rich's heart. As the minutes tick away, Rich finds himself engrossed in mundane tasks like sorting the mail, watering houseplants, and watching the local news with an unexplained fascination. He engages in small talk with his equally dull neighbors over the hedge, discussing topics like the weather and lawn care. In this temporary existence, the once adventurous character experiences the life of a boring man named Rich, observing the world through a completely different lens. The simplicity and predictability of this life brings forth an unexpected sense of tranquility, a stark contrast to their previous reality. As the 10 minutes draw to a close, the character begins to feel the magic of Aeolus's wish wearing off. The world around them starts to shimmer, and they find themselves back in front of the great and powerful genie, their true form and memories intact. Now left with two remaining wishes, the character can't help but wonder what other experiences await them on this incredible journey.
Okay, so I want to say that was like the happiest I've ever been.
It's just like everything, like it's everything is every meditation app tries to tell me to be. It's like strip away everything, like live a simple life, live a simple existence. No worries.
So let's just go right back to Aeolus and just say like, okay, I've got a wish. I wish I was rich and see what happens. Because that just feels right to me.
Okay.
I want to be rich.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse him at all.
No. Okay.
But if we do end up being rich.
Yeah.
The guy.
Yeah.
Do we want Aeolus there too? Just so we like, he can keep granting rich wishes.
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah. Though it doesn't seem like Rich is going to want that much. It seems
and
like
then
he's got
I do have to say this to him, and I think there's something in the way I kind of inflect it, where I could spell it with a lowercase r or an uppercase r, which might kind of sway Aeolus's.
Just do it all caps.
My character yells,
"Yeah, I want to be rich,
Aeolus." I want to be rich.
There we go. Perfect. This is going
to
be great.
And should I clarify that Aeolus has to come too?
I think Aeolus will know because we haven't run out of wishes yet.
Okay, so I'm yelling at Aeolus.
Yeah.
Aeolus, I want to be rich.
Yeah, perfect.
Aeolus, taking note of the character's excitement, smiles and says,
"As you wish, wealth beyond your wildest dreams shall be yours."
No!
With a wave of his hands, a powerful gust of mystical wind swirls around the character, and in the blink of an eye, their life transforms dramatically.
No.
As the wind subsides, they find themselves standing in the grand foyer of an opulent mansion, the likes of which they had never before seen. Rich, polished marble floors stretch beneath their feet, and the walls are adorned with exquisite artwork from renowned masters. As the character wanders through their new estate, they discover a fleet of high-end luxury cars parked in the expansive garage and a stunning infinity pool. Bank statements and investment portfolios, now bearing their name, reveal a vast fortune in various currencies and assets. Having granted the character's second wish, Aeolus reminds them,
"You have one remaining wish, my friend. Use it wisely and remember that true happiness cannot always be found in material wealth alone.
No, we know that.
Well, things are worse now, Aeolus.
Yeah, well, but we did know that. And I feel like Citizen Kane now, because we are getting further and further from what we wanted.
Right.
We wanted the simple existence of a man who likes his neighbors and collecting stamps and is happy. And they've now we're like fucking the Sultan of Dubai or something, which I never wanted.
I know. I'm also worried that we're not getting any closer to having sex with this genie.
That's a good point. Should we just say, will you kiss us? See what happens.
Aeolus.
I think we've broken the ice now, you know?
In thanks for this last wish, may I make one more.
Yeah.
I wish. Is that, it's, that's kind of gross. I guess I'm not wishing for it. Aeolus, this doesn't count as a wish, because I'm not going to, like, compel him to kiss me.
It's kind of what Tilda does.
Well, that's, I'm changing the narrative.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, we'll do it our way. You do it your way, Tilda.
Aeolus,
we'll
this
way.
Isn't a wish.
Yeah.
I want to be very careful to say.
Yeah.
This isn't a wish, just a
request.
Kind-hearted request.
Yeah. Friend to friend.
Friend to friend. And maybe
more.
One day.
Okay.
Something more.
Yeah.
May I have a kiss?
Yeah. Come on, Aeolus.
Okay.
Aeolus, slightly taken aback but amused by the character's request, chuckles and replies,
"Ah, mortal. While I appreciate the sentiment, I am a magical being bound to the lamp, and my existence is to serve and grant wishes, not to engage in personal relationships or physical expressions of affection. I must maintain a certain level of impartiality in my interactions with those who summon me."
Wow. Could have learned a thing or two from Aeolus here, Idris Elba,
yeah,
who's just like pops out of the bottle with a boner every time. He continues. Yeah, he continues.
Yeah.
"However,
ooh,
I understand the importance of companionship, and if you so desire, you may use your final wish to seek true friendship or love in your life. Remember to choose wisely, as this will be your last wish."
What the fuck? That's bullshit. He originally said we only get three, but I'm just going to keep asking wishes.
Okay, yeah.
"And I want to ensure that you find the happiness and fulfillment you seek."
Yeah, I think we're pretty close to the end here. If we can get a smooch out of this motherfucker, we can move on. So here's my suggestion is, can we just wish that he would make a exact replica of himself that we could go to bed with?
Huh. And is that morally gross? Like repugnant? My character says,
"Actually, let's make it bigger. Let's make a really big one. Because Idris is really big when till the first season. And I want to go to bed with a big Aeolus."
"And I appreciate what you're saying."
Yeah.
"Here's my final wish."
Yeah.
"I wish for you to create a being."
Yeah.
"Sapient."
Don't say sapient. That's
sentient.
AIs don't like that shit.
Okay. I wish you to create a
being.
Being in your exact likeness.
Yeah.
But bigger.
Yeah.
And make them fall in love with me.
Yeah.
Or and make them give me a kiss.
No,
and
that is in love with me.
Yeah.
In love with and attracted to me. That ought to do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Aeolus raises an eyebrow, slightly bemused.
He's constantly slightly bemused by us.
Yeah.
Slightly bemused by the character's creativity and persistence. He nods and says,
"Very well, as you wish. I shall create a being in my likeness with the affection and attraction you desire."
With a flourish of his hands, a whirlwind of magic and energy materializes in front of the character. The mystical light begins to take shape, forming a larger, more imposing figure resembling Aeolus. The new being, however, is not a genie, but a mortal incarnation with a touch of magical essence, reflecting the character's wish. As the magic dissipates, the newly created being gazes at the character with love and adoration in their eyes. They reach out, taking the character's hand, their touch warm and gentle, signaling the beginning of a unique and extraordinary bond between the two.
Great.
With the final wish granted, Aeolus smiles, his duty fulfilled.
Your wishes have been granted, and our time together has come to an end. May your newfound wealth, love, and happiness bring you the joy and fulfillment you seek. Farewell, my friend, and may we meet again under different circumstances.
As Aeolus vanishes into the lamp, the character is left with the remarkable being created from their final wish, ready to explore the possibilities of this new chapter in their life.
Okay.
So now we don't even have this pervert Aeolus watching over us. So I just say, my character kisses the being.
Yeah, that's great. I think we probably still miss being rich. I think we missed a trick there because Rich seemed truly happy. And now we just got like a big mansion and a big man.
As the character leans in to kiss the being, their connection deepens.
Okay.
The being, filled with affection and attraction, reciprocates the tender gesture with warmth and care. Lips meet, a sense of happiness and contentment washes over the character, knowing that they now have someone who genuinely loves and cherishes them.
I think that mighty, and you know what, Jack?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this is the exact point George Miller and A.S. Byatt were trying to make.
Yeah.
I think love conquers all, and I think we ended up finding that happiness that we found when we were rich.
Oh, yeah.
In the embrace of, I guess we're just calling it the being.
The being, yeah. And we've got a nice mansion and some Maseratis, it sounds like. So I think we fucking crushed this.
I think we came out on top of this. It wasn't so hard, A.S. Byatt.
Yeah, super easy. Yeah, we did it.
Everyone's like, oh, wish genies are so hard. No, they're not.
No, not hard at all. Beautiful. Let's take the world's quickest break and then come back for 10 more minutes.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here. I'm excited to tell you about a little money-making project that Evil Tanner and I are cooking up called WetterHelp. It's basically the same concept as our sponsors, BetterHelp, but we're not going to run into any copyright problems this time because WetterHelp does everything our competitors do, but we do it soggier, damper, and with a 100% moistness guarantee, or your money back. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. But if you want to get absolutely drenched, BetterHelp has literally nothing to offer you. At WetterHelp, we'll spray you down with a hose, steep you for a full half hour in the most sodden, saturated slop we can find, and then throw you in a lake. The only thing BetterHelp can do is find you a therapist to work through your stuff in a way that will help you face the world and practice self-care, all while completely bone dry. If you want to develop self-awareness that helps you build a social life that doesn't drain your battery, or find a healthy balance in your relationships with other people in your life, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime...
Tanner! I just don't think this one works. Tanner!
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/bedfellows. Okay, we're back. That was good. I feel fulfilled and I feel happy and I'm going to send you away now.
Oh no.
Yep. Arbiter Tanner, it's so
what
nice.
What the hell?
Yeah. What's going on?
Did Tanner move since last time I was here? This place is nice. This like huge mansion.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like Maseratis everywhere.
Oh, so
there's this huge being here.
I see. I've just been. We've gotten.
He looks
so
like
used
Genie from Aladdin, except he's like a man and he has like a dick.
Yeah. Well, that's he's wearing.
And he's huge.
A thong, I think.
Yeah, he's huge.
Yeah, he's really big. Yeah. Yeah, Tanner got a lot of Maseratis. It's a complicated story. You know, podcasting.
Well,
is just it's a winner's game.
Yeah, and just to remind listeners, I'm Arbiter Tanner. I come from the far future. I'm like a Judge Dredd type character.
Yeah. Yeah, you judge Rotten
Gotten pretty
Tomatoes
used to kind of time bubbling back, honestly, at this point.
Yeah.
And every time I go back, my kids and family are like, oh, Uncle Tanner was here. It was so much fun. He was screaming so much.
That's
tough. We've really bonded, even though we've never actually met.
Well, I hope you like our improved circumstances and are impressed with it, but we're still just on our same bullshit, which is I've assembled a small amount of reviews of this film from Rotten Tomatoes, and I want to go through them with you, and you can judge which ones are good, which ones are bad in our hit segment that's called
Perfect.
On the One Hand.
Yeah.
And so we'll start with our segment within a segment. This is, of course, the reviews from the people. It's not the critics.
That's why I come back. Yeah. We're fighting the future. We're kind of like, this is my subtle way of like putting the man down. It's like I'm putting the power, the voice back and into the people's control with highlighting their Rotten Tomatoes reviews.
Here's a segment within a segment. It's called On the One Hand, Confusingly, and it's where we talk about the positive reviews of the film. Here's my first. This one's by Anonymous. And we're going to get a lot of Anonymouses here because...
The hacker?
Yeah, it's all Anonymous. I think it's related. I think Rotten Tomatoes is broken in some way in the last couple months. It's just like degrading as a site. And that may be because the hacker collective Anonymous got into it. It got inside it and started leaving reviews. So.
Well, I'm curious to hear what they thought of the film.
Yeah, here's what Anonymous
honestly, says. I think they could either love it or hate it.
Well, they're legion, so some of them liked it, some of them did it. Our first Anonymous gives this film 5 stars on September 8th, 2022, and says the following thing. If George, Idris, and Tilda decided to do a movie adaptation of The Yellow Pages, I would watch it and love it.
Yeah. Yeah. They might want to get us involved, too, because I think Aeolus really came up with some pretty compelling stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think you
and they
wanna...
haven't used their Aeolus wishes yet. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's beautiful. People don't kids these days don't know what the Yellow Pages is. They're always complaining about getting doxxed, you know. And it's like, well, we used to dox each other all the fucking time back in my day.
Yeah, they used to publish like dox, and now everyone's just now it's just the save icon. Am I right?
They just collect. They used to collect all the lives of everyone inside a giant book and then send it to you. And that's fascinating. I would watch that.
You could just call anyone.
Yeah, you could call anyone. And I often did.
You could crank call people.
Yeah, I often did. Okay, here's our second positive review of the film. It's from Maurice S., who gave it 4 stars on September 25th, 2022. And Maurice S. says, everyone must watch this movie!
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, Maurice, slow your fucking roll. You don't get to tell me what to do.
I can tell you this, coming from the far future, that does not happen.
Yeah. Only some people did.
Yeah. And they liked it, I think.
But I like the sentiment. I appreciate it. It's just a little bit aggressive. Here's a segment that's within a segment where we talk about the middling reviews of the movie. It's called On the Fence Hand.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
This one, it's a review from Anonymous.
Oh, God, they're back.
Who gave this film 3 stars on December 6, 2022. Anonymous says, 3,000 years of watching the movie was one which I looked forward to from the moment I read about it and saw the beautiful trailer.
Read it again?
Yeah. That's just the first sentence. There are a couple. 3,000 years...
I want to hear the first one again, though.
3,000 years of watching the movie was one which I looked forward to from the moment I read about it and saw the beautiful trailer.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Two great actors which hold on to the movie. Sadly, and this is where it takes a turn. Sad, but it's kind of like, and would you say Ouroboros or Ouroboros?
Ouroboros.
Yeah, it's like the snake that eats itself. Sadly, the story is slow. And after the more than 2+ hours, you really have the feeling of been watching 3,000 years of longing.
Wow.
Maybe a quicker, shorter edit would have done the trick. The actors are great.
This is not an Arbiter Tanner's judgment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Although, are we ready for judgment?
No, not yet. I've just got some very short negative.
But I will just sort of give some kind of early notes on that one.
Yeah.
Is even though I think they are probably not native English speakers.
Yeah.
I appreciate that they did their best to like stick the landing on that joke. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I got it. I got where you were going.
Yeah.
You're trying to say I feel like I've been watching this.
I wanted to watch the movie for 3,000 years. Started watching the movie, then I realized I got my wish and it wasn't what I expected. which is kind of now thematic.
I feel like I've been watching this movie.
Now
for
I feel
3,
like I've been watching
years.
The movie 3,000 years. Yeah, I appreciate
pretty good.
It. Yeah, pretty good. Needs a little punch up. Okay, here's a segment within a segment we call On the Other Hand. It's where we talk about the negative reviews of the movie. I've got three very short ones. First one is from Edward A., who gave this film 2 stars on September 8th, 2022. Edward A. says, "Not my type of movie. How many times in spins can they put on a genie in a bottle?" And there are a lot of reviews like this. The reason I included this is indicative of a lot of people who are like, "Oh, it's just another genie in a bottle movie." And with the exception of Aladdin, Tanner, I'd like for you to name some of the many genie
Christina Aguilera's
genie in a bottle movies that everyone's complaining about, because they're apparently sick of the common genre of genie in a bottle movies. And I'll remind you, Aladdin is off the table here.
Kazam.
Okay, Kazam.
The Shaq movie.
Yeah.
Bewitched.
That's a TV show.
I Dream of Genie.
The TV show.
you heard me say Christina Aguilera?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty good at this.
I think I've proved my point.
That's a good categories round when you're at the bar next time.
H. Wilson S. gave this film 1 star on September 7th, 2022, and said the following thing. "What a waste of time, comma. My wife liked it less."
Oh. Well, I want to hear her review then.
Yeah, and so I want to say two things, H. Wilson. One, that's a fucking comma splice. Go fuck yourself. And two, what about your wife's time? It sounds like her time was wasted way more than yours. I feel like you're just like centering your perspective here in a way that is quite clearly not warranted. She's the one we should be upset about.
Yeah, I would like to hear from her.
Yeah. I don't want to hear.
You're wasting my time.
You're wasting my time. I want to hear what Mrs. Wilson says.
I don't think she liked it.
Finally, Anonymous gave this film 1 star on September 5th, 2022, Jesus. And said,
"Man, they're all over the map."
The following thing: "This was 3,000 seconds I will never get back," and I think that translates to about 55 minutes.
Which is, it's like about, that's about half.
Yeah,
of
the that's just half of the movie. It sounds
less
like
than.
You missed the other half of the movie. Yeah. And also, like, not that long of a time.
Yeah.
Okay, Arbiter.
Yeah,
Tanner,
that's not too bad.
You may dispense judgment, and then we'll let you go.
You know, the on the fence hand one, even though they were sort of like, they were circling the drain, and I think.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, you get all the kisses.
All right, I'm going to go back to the far future.
Yep. Bye. Tanner, welcome back to your mansion.
Oh, so great catching up with Arbiter Tanner's kids again. They're sending me back. They're growing up so fast. Well,
judging from the Zoom window, it looks like Aeolus really missed you.
He's insatiable. I should go.
Yeah, we're going to leave. We're going to go. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Baby Nation very much for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you very much. Folks, subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCCpodcast. It's how we stay alive. It's very important. Please go and do that. Thank you to everybody who has done that. We're having a lot of fun in there. You can join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Sorry for the patchy. Sometimes we have an episode, sometimes we don't lately. That'll probably get sorted out after I've moved.
Jack is moving.
Be back on
back
a regular schedule. And I think we've got a few exciting things in the works too. So it's things are about to get hot and also heavy.
Yeah, well, especially with Aeolus here.
Yeah, especially with Aeolus here. I would like to tell everyone that this week we watched film. The film we watched was called 3,000 Years of Longing. Next week, we're bringing on a special guest to talk about the fantastic space. It's fucking in space.
Space sex thriller Starman.
So look forward
and it's
to that.
My wife.
Yeah. Okay. Spoiler. I said special guest as a like TV
author spin. Jamie Green.
Yeah. Author Jamie Green is going to come on and talk to us about Starman.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week my name has been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring, and I also play the character of Arbiter Tanner.
And I hope that you find your rad genie ever after.
We might be childhood friends, and I might have you.